so exciting. Our first parable, you did your first lesson of homework, and now we get to talk about that. And I had to have Skip help me out a little bit. I had all my outline and everything done, and I was like, honey, give me a good title. And he threw out there, Box Office Believers, and you'll see why. I'm going to take some people from the box office and show you how they pattern in with the soil and the hearts in this parable. So the Box Office Believers. You know that we've talked about, for him who has ears, let him hear. And that's in our text today. So first day of school, I'm going to start with a test. Oh, no. I didn't tell you there was going to be a test. Okay, this is a really easy test. This is a listening test. And so take out a piece of paper and pen. You can doodle on whatever you got there. And paper and pen. And using a vertical line, I want you to make a representation of a mama bowl, a baby bowl, and a daddy bowl. Vertical line, real quick, just use a vertical line, mama bowl, baby bowl, daddy bowl. Come on, it shouldn't take long. You should all be doing this. And show your neighbor what you did. Oh, some of you didn't even do it because this is a listening exercise. And some of you chose not to obey what you were told. That tells volumes about you just from the get-go. Okay, now, some of you may have used a horizontal line instead of a vertical line, because I did say vertical, but our brains always want to go horizontal. It's kind of what happens. Okay, the final thing, there is no such thing as a mama bowl. I know, Skip really didn't like it when I tried it on him. He tried to give me all the reasons why, honey, you would have been upset with me if I didn't do this, so I had to, you know, just go with you. I didn't want to correct you. But anyway, we have to be good listeners. And that's what this parable is about, being good listeners specifically to the Word of God, to Jesus Christ, and to the gospel. And that's what we find in Matthew 13. So in Matthew 13, Jesus does this thing where he breaks down the idea of how those two are connected, the heart and the ear. This parable, ear or hearing, you could circle it. It's mentioned 20 times in those contexts. And then the heart is mentioned nearly 10 times. So in this parable, Jesus is trying to connect your ears with your heart. As a matter of fact, there's a French proverb that says, the ear is the road to the heart. Now, I've always heard the way to a man's heart is through his... Okay, but Jesus is saying the way to a man's heart is through his ear. And so we're going to just spin that a little bit. The other thing that's interesting in verses 10 through 16 is Jesus paints an us and them scenario. You and them. And the difference between becoming an us and them is how you listen. Them don't listen. Them don't obey. And he even defines them as being on the outside. So I would say you want to perk up a little bit and listen if you want to be one of the us. Now, learning about these parables, we found out that you're supposed to find the main elements. This is a pretty easy one. It may get more complicated as we go, but there's the sower, the seed, and the soil. These are the three main elements of this parable. And so the only thing that's different, it's the same sower and the same seed, but the soil has four different kinds of soil. So you might want to call this parable the parable of the different soils. Those are the elements. The main theme of the parable is fruitfulness, because farmers plant things so they will grow. And so what this person, the sower, is looking for is fruit to come up from his labor. And only one of these soils brings forth a big harvest. So you might call this the fruitful heart instead of the parable of the sowers. I went to extra effort to give you a kind of a slide here to give you the main elements of the parable. I told you it's the sower, the seed, and the soil. And then different commentators break down what this could mean. The sower, of course, we know is Jesus Christ, right? Jesus is sowing this seed. Some people said maybe after he left, the disciples wanted to sow seed. because they would write the Bible, right? So they're sowing the seed of the word and the gospel. And then finally, we, the saints, are to sow the seed. We're to go forth into all the world and preach the gospel, right? So those are the sowers. The seed, of course, is the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he came, he was the Son of God, he died and rose again and bore our sins on the cross. The gospel. The seed, however, can be the word of God. Sometimes Jesus takes a specific word and plants it in your heart. And you know he's talking to you, and you better obey. And then finally, the Savior can be planted in our hearts. So don't we say that Jesus stands at the door of your heart and knocks? Anyone who opens, he will come into him and sup with him. So the Savior himself, and then the soil, that's the thing that's different in all of these different parts of the parable. The beaten path, the rocky road, the crowded place, and then finally the fertile ground. So this is what breaks up our parable. So I'm going to introduce you to the first guy in the parable, and we'll start in chapter 13, verse 3, Matthew. Behold, a sower went out to sow, Jesus said, and as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. This is the wayward heart, and I'd like to introduce you to the blockbuster, Meet Joe Black. This was torturous to put Brad Pitt on a screen to a women's ministry because you could get distracted. However, in this movie, do you remember who Brad Pitt was playing? Death. It was a takeoff of this movie, Death Takes a Holiday. And so he's supposed to be Death. He decides to inhabit someone so he could experience what it was like to be human. But the point is, that is the kiss of death in this particular thing. So we start out with a wayward heart, and then we'll see the wayward soil, and then we'll look at how that impacts the heart. So this seed, it says, some fell by the wayside, and birds came and devoured it. You might say the seed is on the soil, but it never penetrates. It never goes down into the dirt. The soil, therefore, is hard, highly trafficked, and it has hovering prey. The birds are hovering above it, right? So this is the condition of this soil. In Galilee, the most fertile region in Israel, it's the breadbasket of Israel where everything grows, there was this patchwork of quilts, like the farmlands even in the United States, where it was so amazing. And sometimes in between the fields, there'd be a little path, right? So the farmer could walk down this path. And what it's saying is some of this seed fell on this part of the path. I wanted you to see a picture of the region of the Sea of Galilee, and you can see the patchwork, right? There's the Sea of Galilee. See that road that kind of comes through the bottom third of that? It's the idea is it fell on a road like this, where farmers walks and wagon wheels came and animals. And so it was a trampled down spot. In fact, Jesus walked on paths just like this. One day he was with the disciples and he was super hungry. It says he grabbed some ears of corn and rubbed them off and ate them. And the Pharisees were upset with this because they said he shouldn't work on the Sabbath. However, this is the kind of road they're talking about. This soil is untilled, hard-packed, with footsteps and hooves, and the seed happens to fall on them, never penetrating or taking root. The other problem is there were birds. Okay, we even know in the United States that farmers often put up a scarecrow because they want to scare away the crows, right? I can't help but think of the Wizard of Oz, right? That's what I always go to. So anyway, it's the same idea. The birds follow the seeds, right? So the birds are going to be in that area trying to catch anything that's easy pickings. Well, Joe Black, the soil, leads to a heart. And in verse 19, Jesus explains what this is. He says, anyone who hears the word of the kingdom and does not, you might want to underline this, understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. Understand is an important word to understand, because that's what the problem was. The word was sown, but it wasn't understood, and it was snatched away. It comes from a primitive word that means to hear intelligently, expecting you'll have focused attention, diligent consideration, and the intent to obey. James, you should be doers of the word and not hearers only. When you understand, you're going to do what you heard. I read about a little girl. She was 3 years old watching cartoons. Mom was in the kitchen. Susie, she calls out, come here. Nothing. Susie, I said, come here. Nothing. Finally, Susie, didn't you hear me? And she said, yes, Mom, my ears did, but my feet didn't. Have you ever been that kind of hearer? Oh, you heard what was said. You just have no plan to do anything about what was said. It's not that you can't understand. Some people won't understand. You got me on that? Some people just refuse. Joe Black refuses the truth because his heart is a common road for every evil thought and the philosophies of this world till it becomes as hard as pavement. It happens to you too. It happens to me. On college campuses, they're booting out the Bible and bringing in the Quran. I was Googling about this. Do you know several college campuses have removed the American flag? Because it might offend somebody. Like, you're in America. Why would our flag offend you? And here's some of the crazy courses that are being offered in college. Exorcism 101. What? The joy of garbage. Creating your own religion. And the end of this one is you get to go to Build-A-Bear and make a bear that represents your religion. What are they teaching these people in college? It's crazy, but it hardens hearts. It hardens and packs things down. How about pop culture? Okay, recently, in the last year, Joy Behar on The View said that our Vice President Mike Pence, who is a really good Christian, must have mental illness. That might have been my earring, I'm not sure. Has mental illness because he talks to God. Guess what? I talk to God, and sometimes he talks to me too. So there are people who think you are mentally ill because you're a Christian. I also read about a teacher who was suspended because she gave a student a Bible. A football coach who was fired because he knelt and prayed after a game. And a Marine who was kicked out of the Marines for putting a scripture on her desk. Do you think the world is becoming more and more hardened to the gospel? Absolutely. And that impacts us. Joe's heart has never been softened by remorse, broken up by repentance, or cultivated with one desire for anything good or pure or holy. He's self-sufficient, self-assured, and often self-righteous, so the gospel has no effect on him. It gets snatched up before you even get a chance. You have people like this in your life? Oh man, you try and preach the gospel and you're going to hear about it. You're going to get some slap back or some push back. It says that the birds are really the wicked one, Satan or the devil, who would like to take away the life-giving gospel and leave a heart dead, deceived, pride, blindness, or fear, prejudice, stubbornness, procrastination. Y'all are like, I'm here, I'm good. You know what I mean? I'm in a women's Bible study. Fertile soil here. But procrastination is a problem for all of us. There was a parable that Skip used to say, and all the demons in hell were trying to figure out how they could stop Christianity or Christians from being effective. So one person says, well, we'll just send false teachers. We'll deceive them with all kinds of things. But the word of God is living and powerful, and they realized they wouldn't be able to deceive above the power of the word of God. So then they said, I know, we'll send horrible hurricanes and tornadoes and terrible things. And they'll say, how could a God of love? And yet they knew the body of Christ would come in and love and take care of those things. Finally, one very crafty demon said, I've got it. Just tell them they can do it tomorrow. Ow. I'll have my quiet time tomorrow. I'll preach the gospel to that friend tomorrow. I'll give toward this ministry tomorrow. And for many, tomorrow never comes. So I gave Joe Black an epitaph, and it's deaf ears lead to dead hearts. For Joe, it went in one ear and out the other. Nothing ever latched on. So deaf ears can happen. And I'm going to use myself when I was Josephine Black, because there are times that I haven't obeyed his word. If you notice in this text, Jesus isn't necessarily referring to salvation and all those horrible unbelievers. He's talking to his disciples. And he says, you should hear. So sometimes there's a word that God wants to speak to us that we don't hear. I was in college and I got saved. And to be honest, I was a bartender in a discotheque. I smoked marijuana. I dropped acid. I was having a good time till I got saved. And I got saved and it was radical. It was like a complete 180. Everything changed. Except one thing. I told my dad, I'll be a Christian, but I will never marry one. Because I just didn't think they were cool. It was like, no way. Not doing that. Sometimes God's telling you something and you're like, not that. No, no, anything but that. You know, you cannot have Jesus and something. He wants to be the Lord of all. So, of course, I met Skip Heitzig, and here we are, happily married. But there was a season I fought that tooth and nail. So we move on to the second type of soil and the second type of heart. In Matthew 13, verse 5, it says, some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched. Because they had no root, they withered away. My box office believer for this is Shallow Hal. Do you guys remember that? Jack Black. He just wants to go with bam, bam, bam. And he meets this guy, and the guy says something, and it mesmerizes him. And then he meets this heavy woman, but he thinks she's Gwyneth Paltrow. And so you have this whole story happening because he's so shallow. He is judging only on outward appearance, not on the heart. So this kind of soil is on the soil, and it's in the soil, but it doesn't go down deep. It's shallow. It doesn't have a good root system. So the soil is shallow, showy, and sun-scorched. That's the condition of this soil. Now, stony doesn't necessarily mean there were rocks, because good farmers would take out rocks and sticks and debris. What it kind of describes is a dusting of soil that has a substratum of rock underneath it. And so there is some soil, but the farmer isn't aware that once you get down here, the roots are going to go no further. So immediately it springs up, but it can't drink in the water and the nourishment. Here are some of those kind of plants in Israel. This is not a good spot to grow a plant, right? You can even see where the earth dried up and cracked, but those plants look really showy and good. Are they going to make it for the long haul? Because they're in shallow earth. Immediately they spring up because they're getting a whole lot of nutrients. But then the sun comes up and they wither away because there's no root system. They show up early and they disappear quickly. The kind of Christian this is, or the kind of listener this is a shallow heart. It says in verses 20 and 21, "Seed on the stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, but has no root in himself, endures only for a little while. When tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles." On your rear view mirrors, do you guys have a little sign that says, "Objects in the mirror may appear closer than they really are"? Some joker put that in a dressing room. And that's exactly how I feel in every dressing room. Objects in the mirror may appear larger and closer than they really are. And that's what shallow Hal is like. He is larger than life. Big prayers, bumper stickers, an exaggerated testimony, but it's all top growth. You could say that Hal is easily excited, excessively enthusiastic, and emotionally erratic. Any friends like that? You're like, whoa, here comes the roller coaster. Whee! You never know what this ride is going to be like, because immediately they're up, they have it with joy. Tribulation comes, they're down, and then they're out, is this idea. My sister knows a woman who got engaged, and no one expected the fiancé to buy the rock that she got. Oh, man, everybody was envious of the rock. And so it was just this amazing thing till she took it to the jeweler to be clean and found out it was a cubic zirconium. Oh, yeah. So it may look good, but it's not the real thing. Shallow Hal may look like a Christian on the outside, but inside he is fake. His hold on the word is superficial. The root of the matter is not in him. His confession is only skin deep. So the epitaph for shallow Hal: impatient ears lead to impulsive hearts. And Hal, he only hears what he wants to hear. But he doesn't hear the hard part of discipleship. If any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Some of those things that God says, that these promises are promises that are contingent upon you obeying or you doing something or an action on your part, Hal does not want to enjoy. So when I was a freshman in high school, the Jesus freak thing hit hard. And I was in the Jesus freak revolution, man, almost. So my friends were all getting saved, and they kept inviting me to Bible studies. So I was like, yeah, not happening. Until they told me, like, Holy Ghost stuff was going on. I was like, Holy Ghost stuff? Like, people are speaking in tongues and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So I went like, yeah, I don't want to see that stuff. I want to swing from a chandelier, or I don't know, whatever it was they had to offer. But you know what? I only lasted a couple weeks, and it never took, and so I fell away. It wasn't until college that it made a big difference in my life. So there was a season I heard, but I was too shallow to let that take root. So the third kind of heart is the crowded heart on cramped soil. In verse 7 it says, "Some fell among thorns that sprang up and choked them." Any guesses on our box office believer? George of the Jungle! Because it's a jungle in there. It is so crowded in that heart. They're swinging on vines. There's just everything happening in that heart. The seed is on the soil. It's in the soil. And it goes down, but it doesn't come up. It doesn't bear fruit because there are other permanent inhabitants in this soil. So the soil has to share space with the seed. The seed might spring up and it is starved for attention. Have you ever met those people that are really starved for attention? Dare I say, you may even have one in your small group. And it's like they might have all the answers, but you know that they're juggling something. They may be sitting on the fence, that there may be something going on in their lives. It says that there are thorns in the soil. The trodden path may have been hard. The shallow path may have had a substratum of rock. This is good soil with one problem. Other permanent residents that come up at the same time. And so these plants are vying for all the same nutrients, fighting each other. The root system is commingled and it is struggling. Therefore, it gets choked. Choked means to take by the throat, to throttle, to wheeze, and to strangle. So, did you know that in the United States, the weeds are coming? Remember we had like the African bees that were going to come and take over? Well, there actually are weeds that are coming to take over, says an agriculturalist. It's called the Palmer amaranth. It's the big tall ones. The little ones on the bottom are the cotton. And it's coming to America's homeland. It's in Ohio, Michigan, Kansas. And these weeds come in. Problem, no insecticide can kill them. Therefore, they have to hire people to go in and hand weed fields for harvest. Have you ever, well, I'm not a good gardener, and I can never tell the difference between the real thing and the weed. And so I just, like, give up. I don't know which one's which. And that's the problem with George of the Jungle. Who knows what's in there? There could be all kinds of things planted. Do you know that this grows taller than corn, soybeans, and cotton, and it can grow 3 inches in one day? 3 inches in one day! And when it's a mature plant, it sends off literally thousands, a half a million seeds per plant. This is an infestation problem. So the cramped soil leads to a crowded heart. Verse 22, it says, the seed among thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. So it says worldly cares. Worldly cares would be anxious, unrelenting attention to the busyness of life. Can I get an amen? You know what it's like to be too busy, but if you're too busy for God, you're too busy. And so it could be all kinds of legitimate interests that crowd the heart. It could be career, sports, children, hobbies, travel, everything else but the Lord's work. Everything is competing for what God is trying to do in the life of this person. And nothing seems to break through. One commentator said they describe this kind of person as a person who goes to church but never serves. You see, you have a call on your life. The Holy Spirit has given you gifts. And we are a body of Christ and the body needs you. And if you're not doing these things, you will not be fulfilled. Okay, heads up, you're supposed to be fruitful and multiply. So what kind of fruit is coming forth in your life? What kind of spiritual seed is being planted in your heart? And what should be coming up in the gospel and in fruitfulness? Now, one person that's an example of this is King Solomon. When he first was becoming king, it said he was seeking God, and God spoke to him, and he said, you can ask me for anything, kingdoms, money, whatever you want, ask me. And Solomon has this one magnificent prayer. He says, God, I want wisdom. Give me wisdom that I could lead these people and know the difference between good and evil. What a great prayer. Solomon began well, but he didn't end well. The competing lusts in his life choked out his faith. 1 Kings 11:4 says, as Solomon grew old, his wives turned his heart, his wives, plural, turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not fully devoted to the Lord his God. So Solomon did evil in the eyes of the Lord. Now, the children of Israel wanted a king. God didn't want a king. He just wanted God to be the potentate, the ruler of all. But the children of Israel said, we want a king like other nations. So when God said, okay, I'm going to give you what you asked for, but here's some things kings should never do. Have lots of wives, have lots of horses, and too much power. And that's exactly what Solomon did. He started breeding horses, and he had a boatload of wives, and it choked him out. Is it possible God's trying to say something to you, but there are competing thoughts and competing things that are choking out the work he would like to do in your life? You know, I've found that sometimes I can't hear God's voice. Have you ever felt like that? And I would say to you, if that's the situation, perhaps God's not talking because you didn't obey the last thing he asked you to do. When you do, then he will bless, and you will bring forth fruit, and you will see a difference in your life. So George has an epitaph. Overstimulated ears lead to overcommitted hearts. George, problem? I'm all ears. He just took it all in, everything. And you can't do everything. You got to keep the main thing the main thing. It was the deceitfulness of riches. He's oblivious for their inability to satisfy. He defines himself by pennies, possessions, prestige, position, or power. 1 Timothy 6:10 says, the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil, and some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith. Yes, even the American dream could be your Achilles heel if it keeps you from obeying the Lord. So, meet Georgia of the jungle, and this happened recently. You know, I was raised with sex, drugs, and rock and roll. And every once in a while, rock and roll comes on the radio, and it was on the radio the other day with Skip and I. And have you ever noticed after you get saved, things that you used to do before you got saved didn't seem so bad? Till you, like, see the movie, and you go, oh my gosh, I can't believe I saw that. Holy cow. And so this song came on. I'm like, yeah, singing the lyrics. And I'm like, whoa, those are really bad. So we turned it off. And I had to like sing worship songs for quite a long time after that to get that out of my head. And so this is the idea. Sometimes you have to give up something you enjoy to give room in your heart for God to bring forth fruit. It just is true. We have to deny ourselves sometimes, and we don't enjoy that underline, deny yourself. But sometimes that's what we have to do to be able to be fruitful in God's kingdom. So finally, there's fertile soil that brings a fruitful heart. Verse 8 says, some seed fell on fertile soil and produced a crop that was 30, 60, even 100 times as much has been planted. Any guesses? Box office? Braveheart! Yes! I'm Scottish. Freedom! It was William Wallace, man. So, Braveheart. He did sacrifice for his country. Remember the end of the movie? They're like cutting him open and drawing and quartering him because he was giving it all for his country. So the seed in this soil is on, it's in, it's down, and then it comes up with lots and lots of fruit. The soil is soft, it has sufficient depth, and it's saturated with nutrients. This is the place you want to plant your garden. Fertile soil, some call it good, it's away from the path. It's loose, it has depth, and it's weed-free. So the seed can take root, and it is productive. This seed, because of these favorable conditions, brings an above-average crop. The average crop brings forth 10% increase from the seed. This crop brings 30%, 60%, 100% productivity. So man, when these seed get what they need, Jesus brings the increase. Amen. This fertile soil is a fruitful heart. Verse 23, it says, seed on the good ground is he who hears the word, understands it, remember that word, and bears fruit that produces 160 and 30 fold. One commentator said, the good ground hearers is the optimistic side of this pessimistic parable. I mean, three parts of the ground, three quarters, nothing. This is when we finally get fruit. It says, he who hears and understands. Because the only barrier to salvation is unbelief. It's the only thing that will stop anyone. And trust me, I have family members to this day that go, la, 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 la. As soon as I start telling them about Jesus and his love, you can just see the ice come over. And so salvation is just a heart away, just a belief away. Anyone willing to accept Jesus Christ on his terms is good soil. And we see them come to the Lord weekly here at Calvary, don't we? It's amazing. He hears the word of the gospel with honest, open ears and understands the gospel with a heart of humility and repentance, and therefore he bears fruit. Your root determines your fruit. You know, Jesus talked about that. Fig trees don't bring thorns, and thorn bushes don't bring forth fig. Whatever you plant, that's what's going to come up. Your root determines your fruit. And did you know, Christians, if you don't have fruit, we're not sure if you aren't one of those other kinds of soil. Because the fruit is what identifies you. As a matter of fact, Jesus said in Matthew 7:16, you will know them by their fruits. So what are some fruits that should be in your life? Number one, the fruit of repentance. Matthew 3:8. Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. A remorseful heart. Repentance means to turn around. Stop doing wrong. Start doing right. The fruit of righteousness, Philippians 1:10, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness. Righteousness just means you do right things. You do good things. Then the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Yes, self-control is fruit. When you turn off the radio, turn off the TV, turn away the hot fudge sundae, whatever it is, self-control is fruit in your life. When you are patient with someone, loving with someone, meek, humble. People see the fruit. They know you by the fruit. And the final kind of fruit I put here is the fruit of our lips. Hebrews 13:15. Let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips that confess his name. Isn't that how we started? The name of Jesus. Jesus, there's no name like his name. We confess his name. Well, really, literally a week ago, I read this. A farm in Canada that grows sunflowers. It's the Boggle Seeds in Hamilton, Ontario. They had a bumper crop of sunflowers. Look at that. It goes on forever and ever. And they thought they'd be nice to share the fruit of their labors and the beauty. So they posted, if you want a selfie of you in the sunflower field, come on out this weekend. 7,000 people showed up. So many people that they trampled the sunflowers, drove on the road, kicked dust on it, and they had to shut the whole thing down. Did you know that sunflowers follow the sun? Their heads go with the sun as it's going. Wouldn't you like to be a sunflower? That you follow the sun? Your heart is so open to him that the seeds, those yummy sunflower seeds of the gospel are bringing forth fruit. John MacArthur said, believers differ in fruit bearing because they differ in commitment to obedience. The more you obey, the more fruit you bring. So Braveheart has an epitaph, and that is, faithful ears lead to fruitful hearts. And he would say, do you hear what I hear? Do you hear the gospel? Do you hear the word? Have you received the word? I'll finally end with Betty Braveheart. This is one good moment for me. Have you guys ever had people in your life that have just turned sideways and they turn into enemies and you don't even know what you did or how it happened? Please tell me, somebody else out there. And when they're friends who become enemies, we call them frenemies. Because we're not sure if they're a friend or an enemy. So they're frenemies. And I had some of these relationships go sideways in my life, and it breaks my heart. Should break yours. And I try and do whatever I can. And then eventually the Lord says, it's my work. So this had gone on for a while, and we were studying Esther. So this is a while back. And Esther fasted and prayed. So I was like, okay, I'm going to fast and pray. And then this out-of-town national speaker came in, and she said, you should fast and pray. So I was like, okay, I think I'll fast and pray. So when I was fasting and praying, I opened a psalm, and the psalm said, pray for your enemies. I was like, okay, you know what, I'll do it. But it hasn't worked so far. So, you know, I'm praying. Well, do you know, within a few days, two people who don't live here called me and said, Lenya, that ended so poorly, and will you forgive me? I'm so sorry. It ended like that. I was like, thank you, Jesus. There are times that we can fast and pray and give more room to the Holy Spirit to water the soil and to do the work that he wants to do. Sometimes if we'll just let go and let him do it, let God, right? So let's take a moment to apply some of this. You can close your eyes and we'll pray. Lord, bring forth fruit. You've sown the gospel, you've sown Jesus, you've sown the word into the hearts of these women, and you want them to be like Braveheart. And so this evening, by the power of your Spirit, would you help them, Lord, to do that? If there's anyone here and the birds have snatched away the gospel, the word, something that you know you are supposed to obey, it could be the seed to salvation, but it could be the seed of obedience. If you want to pray and ask God to take your black heart and make it new, would you just raise your hand? Because I want to pray for you. God bless you and you, a lot of you. And so, Lord, save now. Save them from sin and save them from disobedience, Lord. And help them to bring forth the fruit of repentance, to stop doing what's wrong and to start doing what's right. Are there any of you that have had a shallow confession? You know on the outside you might look good in your small group, but you know inside you're faking it. And that you know you need to be more real with God and seek first his kingdom. If that's you, I just want to pray. Thank you. You're so sweet back there. You're like, it's me, it's me. Anybody else? Just having a shallow time. You want to go deeper. This is live deeply. Lord, thank you for these women. And I do pray you'll take them deep, Lord. They'd know you like they never have before with such great intimacy and depth. And they would be up close and personal, Lord. That their confession would go deep into their hearts and you would make them real. Finally, the crowded heart. Some of you need to deny yourself, and God's told you exactly what you need to deny. I told you I denied music. Yes, God bless you. Look at you guys are so great. I love you. The Lord's speaking to you. Thank you. Lord, there's nothing more important than you. And we get so backwards and sideways and we put other things, people, circumstances as more important. And God, we're going to put it first. We're now going to seek you first. We're going to make you first in our life. So Jesus, help these people to cast away those things that will never bear fruit. In Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you guys.